Protecting Senior Citizens from Asset Theft by Collusion of Doctors and Judges, Part 2 by Pam Long. In 2022, I wrote Protecting Senior Citizens from Asset Theft by Collusion of Doctors and Judges. And this is Part 2. This theft occurs when a doctor declares that a person does not have the mental capacity to make medical decisions and then colludes with a judge to appoint a court-ordered guardian. The guardian then takes control of all assets of the victim, who is placed in a conspiring facility, and the victim is usually heavily sedated and disconnected from contact with family members. I was contacted by a woman who read my original article, and she provided a 90-minute interview about how this asset theft was orchestrated in the life of her 93-year-old father in 2024. From independence to a medical facility overnight, Gary, pseudonym, and his wife were living independently in their home, and both were in good health at the age of 90. Gary's wife had power of attorney for medical decision-making for her husband. Gary went to a hospital to have a sore on his foot evaluated. The hospital doctors told the family that Gary had a terminal diagnosis of osteomyelitis with weeks to live, needed surgery for amputation, would need a prosthetic, and eventually hospice. The family was also told that Gary was an infectious risk to his wife. He was immediately transferred to a facility. The family was in disbelief, but initially allowed for the facility to care for Gary while they tried to cope with Gary's diagnosis and the emotional trauma to Gary's wife. This initial placement in the facility started a nightmare scenario involving doctors, hospital lawyers, judges, and appointed guardians that is organized crime. The family would learn months later, after losing control of Gary's medical decision-making, that he never had osteomyelitis. He had a simple fungal infection. The facility requested a court-appointed guardian. The family questioned the diagnosis and the care that Gary was getting in the facility. Gary was heavily sedated and looked neglected. The facility was hostile to the family visiting and to the wife calling to check on Gary. The facility petitioned the court for a guardian, alleging that Gary's wife could not take care of him. The family initially paid $12,000 in legal fees for one day in court, and a judge appointed a guardian for Gary. This guardian now controlled all medical decisions and even visitation by family members. The guardian gave preference to Gary's estranged son, whom the family had a restraining order against for prior violence. The hospital lawyer used several tactics to hinder the family in the legal process. He would use the wrong address or incorrect postage so the family would not get notifications on the legal process. Medical abduction. Once the guardian was in control, she transferred Gary to another facility without updating the family. At one point, Gary was in a facility that charged up to $4,000 per day that was billed to the family. The family found Gary and reported that he had signs of neglect, with a urinary tract infection and pneumonia, showing signs of decline, and had lost the ability to speak. The guardian attempted to impose a no trespass order on the family, but police helped the family get Gary to a hospital for treatment. After treatment, the guardian transferred Gary to another facility. Gary went into renal failure, and the guardian opted not to treat it. Instead, he was intubated and asphyxiated. Under the guardian's Do Not Resuscitate Order, DNR, Gary died by choking. However, his death certificate reported that he died of cardiac arrest. Gary's death occurred 8 months after the court-appointed guardian took control of his care. During this time, the guardian incurred $250,000 and medical bills for the family, and $22,000 in legal bills. Murder for money. The family learned the hospital attorney involved with the transfer of Gary to the first facility with a fraudulent diagnosis, while disregarding the wife's power of attorney, is married to an estate planner. The family believes that estate planners are colluding with hospital lawyers, doctors, and facilities to target people. The family even noticed an estate planning office in the hospital. Their advice is to be extremely careful with estate planners who might be involved in this. Estate planners and lawyers are using Medicare lists to offer consultations to targeted people. The family also advises not to share too much in medical appointments about any indications of asset valuation in small talk. The family said it was very difficult to find an attorney because so many attorneys are involved in this organized crime and have ties to the hospitals and facilities. The family said that once the petition for a hospital guardian goes to court, it is likely too late for the family to retain decision-making because the judges are conspiring in favor of hospital guardians. Everyone involved is getting kickbacks. The family also advises taking strong legal actions against any untrusted family members so they are not involved later in life and colluding in this asset theft scenario. Any profiteering family member could be recruited by this organized crime. In conclusion, the family has formally complained to every oversight agency with no response. They did think that the senior Medicare patrol was somewhat helpful. But overall, people must take action to prevent the abduction in medical facilities that leads to a court-appointed guardian and asset theft.